Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This Top 10 Fantasy Football Quarterbacks Edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their new over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Joe Theismann here. You're listening to SGPN. So do this. Let it ride.
Everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Crame?
Dog.
Well, it's football. It's Sunday. It's football. So yeah, shit's good.
It is. It's a football Sunday. Even though you're rocking your Volcom shirt, maybe you took the longboard to the studio.
We live in Southern California, Sean. So
how are the waves?
Just making waves, as they say.
What was the surf report?
It was
a little
lit.
Choppy out there,
it was
bro.
Lit, as Colby said, the beach locations lit this weekend.
Got some gnarly swells.
Yeah. You know, heading out to Catalina next weekend. Gotta dip the toe in before you dive in head first.
Oh man. All right. So we kicked off our top 10 fantasy football tight ends. We already rocked that episode. Now we're moving on with our top 10 fantasy football quarterbacks for 2022. Listen to those trumpets player. And of course, you got to head over to winbet.com where you can bet $50, get $200 in free bets. And man, this fantasy football promotion, it's the ultimate fantasy football experience. Between now and the end of July, every time you bet $500, you could be entered for a chance to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at the Encore Beach Club, including a 2-night stay at the Wynn Resort for you and your entire league. That's right. Imagine if you get you and your entire league and just start betting over at WinBet, just entries after entries after entries. You can literally stuff the ballot box. Normally in these sort of contests, you cannot, you get one entry. WinBet. Every time you hit $500 in bets on sports or casino, man, just head over to the blackjack table. Just, you know, play perfect blackjack a la the Sean Green method. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Excellent work, Sean.
Thank you. Brian, over under on hot takes that I bring to this top 10 quarterbacks.
So, not without explaining to people how the format works, I feel like there has to be a hot take. Towards the back end of the draft, okay, or the rankings. And then maybe typical of you to do this, something a little bit more outlandish, a more step out of line, be different, zag when the world zigs near the top of the rankings.
Well, you know, and last year, of course,
did I predict your logic down to a science?
No, not necessarily. I think the number one quarterback I have isn't one that is consensus. Experts won't rank him number one, but I don't think it's not shock.
Me neither.
It's not like last year when I had Jalen Hurts as the number one fantasy football quarterback, or the year prior when I really called my shot and nailed Josh Allen as the number one fantasy football quarterback. I do have a couple. I don't know if you would call them long shots here. I'm sure there's some that you will disagree with, Ryan, but a bunch of like mildly hot takes, nothing spicy.
I'm looking at my rankings and I'm realizing that I'm just an old man. You'll see it.
Millennials get knocked down.
Trey Lance not in the top 10. Since they are quarterbacks, we should probably, are there any notables that didn't make your top 10? Oh,
well, again, is Dakota Rain Prescott not making it in the top 10?
When I heard Mike McCarthy say he was going to run more designed runs, he's not making it through the season. I think Dak could very well score
more designed runs with Dak. Oh my God.
You weren't even aware of that. You left him out. You really objectively left him out without that lovely nugget. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you can definitely talk yourself into why he's fun. I could see Lee. I left Stafford out, my guy.
Okay.
I don't know. Stafford feels like he's right there on the edge there, right?
Yeah. Daniel Jones, Ryan, you've been encouraging.
Left him out.
Marcus Mariota.
He's got to earn it.
Marcus Mariota, who you have a lot of shares of in best ball.
The last time Marcus Mariota started a game, I could be wrong. I don't know if he started the game last year where he only scored like maybe a dozen points. He scored 26 points. So watch out. No, he's not on the list. I do like his value.
Ryan Tannehill.
Those are undervalued.
Ryan Tannehill, expert, you know, consensus ranking has him at 20. You could make a case for him sneaking in there. He'll randomly get you some rushing touchdowns. Did not crack my top 10 list.
Trey, his top receiver, Sean, as you know, struggling with the in shape stuff. I don't know. I as I was doing this right, every year you start with a blob of clay and you start chiseling it down to those final rankings. I love people that, I mean, God bless the fantasy community and people that really take their rankings seriously. But these are early. All right. It is only June. These are early rankings, guys. Like, don't hold me to it. Like, don't be doing anything crazy and drafting like guys way out of. No, do exactly what you want to do. I mean, I think the bottom line is this year, I felt like the quarterback situation is kind of a little bit boring.
Great way to start the podcast off by saying what we're going to discuss is boring, Ryan.
I'm with you. I'm going to have a different number one, but no, I just think there's obvious guys near the top. You can kind of talk yourself into a couple guys maybe popping their head up because situations.
Here's
are
a hot take for you: Russell Wilson, is he in your top 10?
Yes,
he's not mine.
That's incorrect.
Here's what I'll say about Russell Wilson.
He was in there.
I guess we can save it for when you actually.
We'll talk about it in a couple.
Yeah.
Any other notables? Like, did Big Ben make your top 10? Like, I know you're putting retired players into your top 10 rankings. Will there be a retired quarterback not named Big Ben?
Well, Ryan, you put Kyler Murray in, and I think there's a decent chance he retires before the end of the season.
That's flexible still.
Yeah, he's the next Rob Gronkowski. All right, I'll start with my number 10 since we just mentioned him. Matt Stafford.
Okay.
Coming in at number 10.
That's fair.
He had 41 passing touchdowns. Again, not going to give you much rushing upside. I don't even think he gets much QB sneak wise. Here's where I'm slightly regressing him, or I just getting to 41 again. I think for Matt Stafford could be tough. Again, that was like a career outlier season for him, and Cooper Kupp as well. Like, I think Cooper Kupp is good, but is he going to have? I mean, both Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford had career years, to really carry him in a fantasy sense.
This is your, hatred of Sean McVay. That's what this is.
I also hate Sean McVay, but I just don't see them running it back next year with those same massive numbers.
What if the answer is this system got Jared Goff to win a playoff game on the road? Now they have a competent quarterback. Matt Stafford did as well as anyone could have predicted. And while I appreciate
Cooper Kupp had 16 touchdowns last year, I just don't, I think he could have a good year, but I think it's going to be like 10 touchdowns. I think it's hard to do that back to back seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, you're the one that has him in the top 10. So I don't
know. So you're arguing against.
Well, I'm with you.
You're making, I started out by critiquing him, but you don't even have him in your top 10. So you must be lower on him. Why are you knocking him so far down?
If you don't make a list and actually make the list, I just started making the list and there is not, I have other pocket, boring ass pocket passers. Like I have white guy quarterbacks.
Okay.
I have guys with no rushing floor at all in this, in these rankings. I just think the whole team's going to have a fucking hangover. I mean, to your point of regression, I think it's more of the whole team has a serious hangover. I think we like some key fantasy parts, but I also think they're going to run the ball more. Cam Akers, they wanted him to be a big part of that team. So with him back, I think that does allow them to be a little bit different in terms of an offense. And maybe they're not having to play as fast. Cause to your point, like I think it's tough to get to those counting stats. My number 10, Derek Carr.
Really? Yeah. I
thought about a way, like, how do I have a hot take in here? That's really not that spicy.
Oh, hot.
Because, you know, it's already been said by his brother that he is a top five quarterback in the NFL. So me saying he's a top 10 guy, this is what got me.
So for me, why I kept him out was the passing touchdowns. I feel like last year he had a pretty solid year and still only got to 23.
Is it fair to say maybe it's regression and maybe this is a new coach, a new set of tools, a clear, when you're talking about a team around the goal line that has maybe their top two options around the goal line are passing, passing. And then you realize Hunter Renfrow was a top five guy in the league.
I mean, he's only had over 30 passing touchdowns once in his career, all the way back in 2015. Now, is he going to be 23? Assuming he's healthy.
What
yes,
about
certainly.
The, he plays in a dome.
Yeah.
Adams. This is a team that is going to be in some higher scoring battles.
Well, and that's how are you grading the AFC West? Are you going to say these teams are playing tough teams, or a lot of these teams are offensive heavy and could lead themselves to some shootouts and high scoring
affairs? I think all of these teams are going to win games with offense. And I think we go to Vegas a lot and have conversations with cab drivers because, of course, we support cab drivers in Las Vegas.
Hot stance.
And
no, we're not taking an Uber. You don't go against the badge in Vegas.
Derek Carr seems to be a dude that people look up to on this team enough, so much so that the organization went out and, by all accounts, he was involved in the coaching situation. By all accounts, he was obviously involved in the Devontae Adams decision. This team is about Derek Carr trying to bring a collection of dudes that he like if there's a team that's going to surprise us this year, I almost called them the Oakland Raiders. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. And the reason
he's one of those guys who will get penetration.
Will they have that same sort of energy and mojo if they don't have the spirit of John Madden carrying them?
John Madden, where the fuck is he going, Sean? He doesn't fly.
That's
He's
true.
Driving the
he
bus.
He parks the Madden Cruiser there.
And here's the nugget that really got
Although
me.
He wouldn't want to be buried at a dome. I can speak for Madden on
because
that.
Because first of all, you have to say Derek Carr, his whole career, he's been made fun of, the ball not traveling down the field, right? Last year, fourth in attempted passes 20 yards down the field.
Okay.
That's impressive. Now, you could argue that Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, even Darren Waller do their best work around the line of scrimmage. So maybe they're just going to be a different kind of team. But I think from a ceiling perspective, because I don't think this is a team that's going to run the ball. I don't think Josh McDaniels is going to come out here and run the ball for the deeper I look into this Vegas Raiders team. I don't think they're going to try to win games 21-17. And so I think when you look at the counting stats, you look at the fact that Derek Carr last year, Sean, 13th, added Devontae Adams.
Hanging around.
Devontae Adams. And to your point, give me a little bit of touchdown regression. Give me a little bit of that touchdown regression. Let's hit on some of these deep passes. And who knows? Again, I think the opportunity will be there. You'll see there's a number of quarterbacks from this division. Who's your number nine?
Give me Smoking Joe, AKA Stogie Joe, Joe Burrow. I mean, I love Joe Burrow as a guy, the moxie.
Nice.
Love he covered the spread against the Super Bowl for me.
This is so perfect.
Love that he hit the you know money line against the Chiefs. Love that he hit me live money line Bengals when they were down 21 points. The kid has swag, but also to that point, he's a huge variance guy. Like again, he's a guy I don't think they're gonna no
deep
design
ball regression.
Runs. There could be some of that. He had back-to-back four touchdown games, which really, if you look at his total fantasy points, that really helped. Now on the negative side for Burrow, five games with either one or zero passing touchdowns. He seems like more of a situational DFS guy than someone you want to draft season long. And honestly,
I disagree.
Like season long. If you're
his offensive line fucking sucked last year.
Yeah, and they've gotten better. So again, that's a good reason why he should be in the top 10.
I've heard people try to argue that like hurts him because his creativity and his escapability is part of what made him, so dangerous in some of those four touchdown games were like freestyling with Jamar Chase. But why is this offense not going to get better in another year? Why is it not going to get better with a good offensive line? They clearly upgraded the offensive line, and he's my number six guy, Sean. So,
oh wow,
hot take. They were in the bottom half of the league in the hot thing this off season is the situational neutral stuff. Situational neutral. We're talking neutral pace here. Anyway,
led the league in yards per pass attempt in 2021. Again,
bottom half in pass rate, situational neutral pass rate. So
they're an interesting play calling team too. And to your point, I think having the good offensive line, while it's better for the Bengals as a team, and probably helps Joe Burrow a little bit. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up fantasy wise being a bigger help for Joe Mixon necessarily than Joe Burrow. Again, to me, it's an honor to be in this top 10 list. So this is no knock on the kid. I like the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow, but yeah, nine felt about right. Cause I do still think there's going to be some variance in there.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But also maybe he just takes a step forward and is a better player because he's a young guy and now is going to have time to process. I just think it's potentially,
he has a high ceiling and
very high ceiling considering he doesn't really run the ball.
This is what's crazy too. Like looking at, we even named a couple guys that were just outside our 12 quarterback list. If you're in a season long redraft league, you have 12 teams. I think there's a real case to be made for not drafting a quarterback until the last round, or at least not drafting a quarterback until everyone else has drafted a quarterback. The options you have,
I'd argue there's a top tier that is appealing in this. If you're not taking one of those top guys, I completely agree with you. I think it's, you just like, let it sink. If someone crazy falls to you, if not, take the last guy. Cause to your point, like Matt Stafford is right around there for me.
Yeah,
Joe Burrow is around there for a lot of people.
Aaron Rodgers isn't in some top 10 list, which I think is crazy. I'm going to get to him later on, but well, who's your number nine, Ryan?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Breaking news. I just bumped Kyler up to make Kyler. All right, so here's why I didn't put Kyler on my list.
Okay.
And he's probably right around. Obviously, this makes him undraftable for me, blah, blah, blah. You joked about him retiring. Football is not a sport that you can go in half-ass. Lots of people have spoken about this. Michael Strahan talked about this.
Especially for him and his game, fantasy-wise, you need to be a willing runner. I didn't see anything about, in that last game, in some of those situations.
He wants money.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna
imagine Kyler Murray where he doesn't have to fight for a contract and DeAndre Hopkins is missing six games. But,
all right, let's talk about two guys, right?
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. Lamar Jackson, I believe that motherfucker is gonna get, we'll go to first down.
Dog,
because he's representing himself, Sean. He's a small business out there. He knows
literally
how to get
betting
paid
on himself.
Kyler, what's he doing? He's saying, I can go play baseball. I don't give a shit about this. The perfect thing happened with Kyler. You could argue that Kyler's start to last season was as good as it gets, right? They were undefeated. They were the toast of the town. To think he just like what 6 months later, he was taking the Cardinal stuff out of his social media profile. He was the quarterback four after that start. They were passing the ball a shitload. They were moving. They were fast team, right? Everything was going as good as possible. And he was only the QB four. That's more of a shot to say, I don't even know if his ceiling is what everyone tells you it is. I think there's a top tier of guys who can flat out go get you 40 points on any given day. Period.
Yeah, what do you think Kyler Murray's highest scoring game is going to be? I don't think he's going to run much.
I think it's fool's gold to think that Kyler is a guy that's going to be a threat, especially when you need him at the end of the season. I think we are 100% going to see another year where Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray start fast. And they slow down, and that's not what you want from your fantasy quarterback.
I don't even know if they're going to start fast because you look at these splits of with and without DeAndre Hopkins. It's pretty stark.
We could all be wrong, but it seems a coach that doesn't evolve over the course of a season. I can't imagine he's going to evolve season to season. And funny enough, Coach Leach told us if Cliff can figure out defense, he'll be all right in the NFL. It seems like he's going to have to figure out how to have.
He's got to figure out
sweet
psychology.
16 quarterback happy. I listen to a lot of shows in preparation as I'm prepping for the season now. And there are so many people afraid to take some, like
make a stand.
You can't, I don't have Dak or Kyler in my top 10. And it's both because I'm confident they will get hurt. And yet you're not allowed to predict injury.
No, did, Ryan.
But this is about
Christian McCaffrey, field turf.
Check
the tape.
I like Dak Prescott, but his coach is going to run him into the ground because he's desperate for a job. That's not good for him long term. Kyler doesn't want to play anymore.
No.
He does not want to play anymore. How do you? It's a great. Who's the backup in Arizona? Great situation. Whoever the backup is, we should be looking to get him
in our best ball.
Just load up on just play James Conner.
Sneaky stack with Colt McCoy.
Oh,
or Trace McSorley. Oh, that guy's
wait a second.
McSorley.
We like Colt McCoy now.
I actually like Colt McCoy. McSorley, I like him as a guy.
All right, so number nine, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where you have him on your list.
I have him at number eight.
What scares me off of him a little bit, and he's probably right around where I guess he's being drafted here. But they were very clearly going to run the ball more. They are very clearly going to take some of those targets to Devontae Adams and make them runs, or best case scenario, make them short catches around the line of scrimmage to the running backs, to Amari Rodgers. Creativity. I don't know, but it's hard for me to say. Definitely, there's a path to him having a higher ceiling than last year. Sean, he was sixth last year.
Yeah.
Overall, he was.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think if he's six overall last year,
I apologize. He was a sixth in overall points. He was eight in per game average. So to me, it's hard for me to see him go north of that. And so that I had to drop him a little bit just because of that. I think they're going to run the ball more. I think they're specifically going to less Devontae Adams catching easy touchdown passes, more AJ Dillon running the ball with his giant quads.
See, and again, if you look at those couple, there's not a big sample size, but those games where Devontae Adams is out, they still throw the ball a decent amount. But to your point,
I don't doubt he'll throw the ball still. I still like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers will bring you a certain level of consistency. I just think you're going to see he's going to have a fewer touchdowns. That would be my hot take.
Well, and he was coming in from 37 last year. I still think he can get high 30s. And I think it's going to come with easy goal line touchdowns to Bobby Tonyan.
I'll be wrong. You're right.
I think he's going to get easy, easy yardage from getting the running backs involved in the passing game, AKA Aaron Jones.
I do like that. Yeah.
So I think he's going to be able to get pretty similar. Ryan, don't underestimate the pettiness of Aaron Rodgers, AKA regular season Rodgers. We've seen him go out of his way to pad his stats like he did 2 years ago to get up to 48 touchdowns. I think he wants to send a message and saying I'm bigger than Devontae Adams.
We are splitting hairs here. You have him eight. I have him nine. Yeah. This is the touchdown regression, right? It was the touchdown percentage was 9.1. Everyone talked about it in 2020. Last year was seven. still north of his career average of 6.3. So if that comes down a little bit, he drops a couple spots back. That's why I have him there. That being said, in a season long format, again, like I'm very cool waiting to take Aaron Rodgers if he's going to be the guy that people are fall asleep on.
Yeah.
Because everyone's talking about AJ Dillon and his beautiful quads. All right. Number eight.
Let's go.
Wait, did
I'm Rodgers is my number eight now.
Beautiful transition. Eight, Russ. Look, I understand the case against Russell Wilson. The case against Russell Wilson is that he's going to play on a team that's going to want to run the ball. The style of offense is going to want to, you know, dictate the style of offense through running the ball. But you don't go and get Russ Wilson with all those picks when you have Jerry Jeudy, when you have Patrick, when you have Cortland Sutton to dink and dunk and play some bullshit offense. You get Russ and you bring him to Denver to let him fire up that giant ass bong and just fucking cook. Look, this is insane. He was a top 10 guy every year for the last 5 years under Pete Carroll, the guy who loves to run the rock, with the exception of last year.
Yeah.
With the exception of last year.
And part of it to me, why he didn't make my top five was that
He's got to be a top 10. He's going back in the top 10. Talk about a guy who likes himself. I this is about me now. I'm not with Pete and the Seattle culture. Like, this is about me. I'm going to I'm really going where my wife wants to go, but I'm going where I want to go and I want to be me. I'm going to cook. I'm going to throw the ball down the field.
I think why he's
what are you doing?
I think why he's not going to be a top 10 quarterback. Not so much the passing touchdowns, but I just don't he used to be a guy who could sneakily scramble. And I don't think at this stage in his career, he's no longer a willing rusher. Last year,
massive step back last year.
Yeah. And I don't see him. I think he could have a good year as a player, but I don't think he's going to crack the top 10 fantasy because I don't think the rush yards are going to be there.
We are falling out of our chair to give Baker a little bit of a giddy up in terms of like he played hurt. Now he's getting crushed for it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's nobody. But the same thing happened with Russ Wilson. I mean, the finger injury was real. Like, go back and I know you watch tape, Sean. So yeah. I would never tell you to go Brian watch the tape. But if you go watch the tape before and after the injury, it's real. And so
I think there's
the
something
one
to that.
Season he hurts his hand a little. He got a boo boo on his hand. He drops out of the top 10, which is insanely difficult playing for Pete Carroll, who loves to run the rock more than any coach in the fucking league. Really loves to establish the run. And you could argue coming from a team where he had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he upgraded his receiving talent. He's got Melvin Gordon and Javonte. Well, you don't think the talent is comparable?
DK, comparable, but I don't know if it's like an obvious.
I'm
upgrade.
Just pointing out to go from such so high up to still argue that you could potentially argue there's an upgrade there. Javonte Williams catching a pass out of the backfield.
I think some of that was chemistry. I think he had really good chemistry
with Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. And I think DK Metcalf to me is just like a, you know, peak specimen, Ryan. And
Cortland Sutton. Go look at the photos of Cortland Sutton with his shirt off.
No,
but he loves the Lord, Sean.
And maybe Sutton becomes his Lockett and Jerry Jeudy has a big year. Like, there's certainly a formula there, but to me, the dramatic drop off in rushing yards
was
something that I had to dig him in. You're not getting in my top 10, Russ.
Is it fair to say perhaps the injury had something to do with that?
If it was like a lower body, sure. But I don't see if anything you would want to run more if you're having trouble with your accuracy and issues with your hand, I would think.
Unless he was so banged up. And like, again, if he was so banged up, that's why he had to step back. Now he's out of town, fresh start. Come on, Sean. We love Russ. How are you? What are you doing to Russ?
I don't see
you had room for the old white guy, Aaron Rodgers, but not for Russ, huh?
You know it. Oh. Ryan, we're talking fantasy. It is the off season, but again, fire up that sleeper fantasy app. We are in the middle of our dynasty rookie draft over on Sleeper. We got our league over on Sleeper, but also you can play their new over under game. It's super simple. Again, perfect. Now they got the baseball fired up. Perfect way to get some D-gen action, get some day baseball going. Over under on a ton of players, ton of different baseball stats you can choose from. You can you know, parlay together all the way up between 2x and 20x the amount you bet. It's crazy. It's super fun. And of course, the MLB guys are going to be going hard, giving out their picks over there in our chat. And it's very easy to just hit copy picks with Sleeper.
I was going from our draft board, Dynasty draft board, just took Jameson Williams. Shout out to us playing for the future here. And very easy to swipe over and hop in over under two clicks and a swipe.
You get 100% deposit match. All you got to do is go to sleeper.com/SGP. When you deposit, hit that promo code SGP. And again, you're entered into our group chat. Tag us with the plays that you guys are getting down or copy our plays. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Okay, now over to me for my number 7 fantasy football quarterback. When I'm selecting,
I'm shocked right now.
What?
Almost as much as when Daro took Joe Burrow from me.
Callback to the best ball draft where Ryan got snaked by this character Daro in not best
everyone,
ball draft.
Not everyone listens to every minute of our best ball draft.
I would assume they would. I love a story where you have a motivated quarterback who loves running the ball and does so at a very high clip. Last year, 5.83 yards per carry. Oh. Give me Justin Fields, my number 7 fantasy football quarterback. What? Everyone's saying, oh, there's no shot. He reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts in 2020, where, you know, and then 2021, Hurts really established himself as a good, very good fantasy football quarterback, got a ton of rushing touchdowns. Justin Fields just didn't have the volume because he didn't start the entire season, but he would definitely have been up there. I think he showed some real nice flashes as far as, you know, throwing the football.
This is an insane take.
How so?
You told me you didn't have any super hot takes.
Is this too hot,
Ryan?
This
is super hot.
Oh, hot.
I love Justin Fields as a fantasy football quarterback. Ryan, I mean, he put up a ton of ton of rushing yards. It'd be crazy.
The chat is all right now. They don't like this.
420 yards from scrimmage running the ball, and he got a couple rushing touchdowns. I think he's gonna have even more this upcoming season. He only started 10 games.
Why
last
do you
year.
Love Justin Fields so much?
Because I think here's what the situation is. You give a guy who. To your point, Ryan, you kept
horrible
harping.
Defense kind of situation. Is that where we're playing that card?
Yeah, he's gonna be able to run the ball a ton. He's literally playing for his career, his job. He is a coach that didn't draft him.
Does he start?
What do you do in that situation? You tuck the ball and run.
That's fair.
I mean, you have no competition.
I don't understand how you could be so insanely out on Daniel Jones and so insanely in on Justin Fields.
You don't understand that. Daniel Jones, we saw multiple years of him not being good.
Because I think they strangely possess some of the same upside skill set that if in the right environment could work out. Now, to your point, if Justin Fields goes out there and runs for 1,000 yards because he's running for his life, then yeah, I'll most likely be wrong here, but I will say that this is one of your like, this is a gross hot take. This is like this
Daniel
is,
Jones had.
This isn't like dog shit burning. This is like some sort of toxic waste burning on your porch.
Daniel Jones didn't have a ton of rush yards last year, Ryan.
No, and I'm just a point.
And he has a serious neck injury, and I don't think he's gonna. And he has legit competition from Tyrod Taylor. I don't think Trevor Siemian is going to start over Justin Fields.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I do think
I've heard the new coaching staff is out. Funny enough, I've heard the new coaching staff is out on just about every single one of the players that they didn't draft. David Montgomery, Darnell Khalil Mooney, Herbert. Everybody. They're out on everybody that they didn't draft. So no, I understand. I think I understand the case you're making, but this is way hotter than you're in your mind, in Sean's mind, Justin Fields is great. And everyone, I don't know if everyone else
I wouldn't
agrees.
Say great. I would say he's in a great spot to score
fantasy
a ton
great.
Of fantasy
you're,
points.
You're t-
he's
seventh?
In a good situation to score a ton of fantasy points. That's what I would say.
So, all right, gun to your head.
Yeah.
Father-in-law is playing fantasy football.
Yep.
You're telling him, go ahead. Don't like, just wait till the end of the draft and take this guy.
No, again, Ryan, each draft is its own unique thing. I mean, the you act like I'm crazy off market. I have him at seven. The experts have him at 16. Oh. So yeah, I think.
Why'd you go like this?
Because who the?
Sorry, that was putting my fingers up. If you're not watching,
yeah, I'm doing some air quotes there. So would I rather? I think the rushing upside there is going to carry him. Okay. If you're looking for a safer play, there are certainly a safer quarterback to choose. I think if you're talking about a quarterback that you could get probably again, you might be able to draft him as the last quarterback in your league, and he has league winning upside potential.
Barely outscored Taysom Hill last year.
Yeah, Taysom Hill runs the ball a ton.
11 points a game, fantasy points a game, 136. I feel he just didn't. He didn't do a ton of good stuff last year, and I don't know if he's
Al Paul in the YouTube chat saying Fields, Chicago has done nothing to help him going forward.
Such a good smart chat. We have such smart fans.
I totally agree, and that's why he has to run the ball. He has no weapons to throw to. He's gonna run the ball like
Jameis Winston only was outscored by 16 points by Justin Fields, and Jameis Winston only played seven games.
Okay. Also, Justin Fields was a rookie.
That's fair.
It's not like Daniel Jones where he's seen 3 years of below average quarterback play.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate you coming in with the hot take. I've been trying to pretend
that's
like
not
it's
a
not
hot,
gonna
take.
Be a hot take.
That's not a hot take. It's just the truth. All right. Justin Fields is going to finish top 10.
So Justin Fields, final answer, number seven.
Yes.
Okay. My number seven guy. A guy who actually deserves to be in the top 10. This isn't.
Oh, that is a shot.
It's Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
This is where he goes. I think where did he finish last year, Sean? That's the kind of thing you have memorized, right?
He was top 10.
On a per game basis, he was six.
Yeah.
Overall, he was number nine. The reason I have him at seven, kind of splitting the difference. I think the biggest thing to me was very simple, handicap here. Jalen Reagor out, AJ Brown in. Is that feels like an upgrade? And I have to imagine they're at least going to give him a chance to pass the ball more. And so when you're looking at a guy who finished ninth overall, played only 15 games, one was by design, right, Sean?
Yeah.
21 average though, that's pretty solid and room for a step forward with more passing volume. I think also the Eagles, they played faster than most people think. They were fifth in neutral pace. So, you know, and then you sprinkle in the fact that he is a lock to get you what you can almost say he's like a 7.5 to 8 point lock from his 50 yards rushing and half touchdown that he's going to put in. And so, yeah, I think I think it's a hot take if you take him outside. You're basically saying he's not going to play the whole season.
Yeah,
and you're saying that because he's going to get benched.
Or I would say there's a world where
he missed the game and he finished ninth last year.
The Eagles are more competitive. I mean, he did pad some of those stats early on when they were getting blown out. Like you look at those like first six games, he had some like spike games in there when he was playing in garbage time, kind of racking up some rushing yards. I would say, and I'll save some of my positive stuff for my Jalen Hurts.
You left him out of your top 10.
No, I have him higher than that, but I would say the Eagles have not brought in a running back that is going to take his goal line carries. He is the goal line running back right now. Or at least I think he's still going to get enough of, carries within the 5 yard line, the sneaks to dive into the end zone.
Three guys on this list who are also their team's goal line back. And the other two are much higher up on the list. So in some ways, Jalen Hurts, the value, the reason he's lower on the list is because the passing's a problem, but he did all of that last year in spite of his inability to pass the ball.
Yeah.
And I think just having someone again, Jalen Reagor to AJ Brown, at least that gives him someone with a big catch radius that can do something with nothing. Reagor couldn't do anything with
my homerism aside. It's not uncommon. No, it's not uncommon for a quarterback to get better, to make a jump from their first year as a starter to their second year as a starter.
Second year in the
why I like Justin Fields, and then why I like Jalen Hurts better, because Jalen Hurts has more consistency, better weapons, better offensive line.
But Justin Fields isn't in the second year of an offense.
I have Jalen Hurts higher.
To me, that's a very important thing. So Jalen Hurts 7. Who's your number 6?
Tom Brady.
Okay. Well, my 6 is Joe Burrow. We already talked about him, and my 5 is Tom Brady. So we can talk about him at the same time.
All right, Tom Brady. He was number 3 overall last year, which was kind of insane. It's weird. Like, I think people don't talk about him enough as a fantasy quarterback, just because he's just kind of an annoying guy who won't go away. Allegedly, again, air quotes, Gronk won't start the season with the Bucs. He will eventually play for them. But I think, you know, the ETR guys were making a good case about how Mike Evans is actually the guy that, you know, would be really
massive. Yeah.
Would be really good. And, you know, in the same way that Rodgers had a lot of those like 1 yard touchdown throws to Devontae Adams, I mean, Mike Evans is a master of that. And in best ball, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not having more of these, but Mike Evans, Russell Gage, Tom Brady stack is very easy to pull down. And again, like Tom Brady, as annoying as he is to root for, unless you're like a hardcore,
it's a baby fucking wheel, man.
The guy just produces. There's zero rushing upside. Although I feel like he's decent for a. I'll pull up his goal line.
I had not finished the quarterback rankings when you shit all over me for failing to get Joe Burrow and then panicking and taking Tom Brady. I think a round or two later, maybe a round later. We seem to both agree that Tom Brady is maybe the king of the pocket passers.
Yeah.
Still, it's all about the fact that unless not having Bruce Arians, although you claim that Tom Brady's the offensive coordinator, so
yeah,
that would be helpful. They were second in pace, second in neutral
43 pass touchdowns,
rate.
And I think,
they pass more than any team in every situation.
And do you see that
up
going
by
down?
Three touchdowns, pass down by three touchdowns, pass? No, because Chris Godwin's not there. It doesn't matter. Tyler Johnson slot.
I mean,
out
do you think,
up.
You think Todd
Cameron Brate slot out of?
Do you think Todd Bowles is going to tell Tom Brady what kind of offense they're going to run?
Josh Allen was the top guy last year at basically 24.5 points per game.
Yeah.
Played all 17. Justin Herbert after that, 23.25. And then Tom Brady after that, down a half point to 22.75. Patrick Mahomes was 4th, another almost full point below that. So,
I mean, again, I think Byron Leftwich could end up being a good coach, but it's just hilarious. Yeah.
Tom Brady says good things.
Yeah. He's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. He's 42 years old. Do you think Tom Brady is going to let an offensive coordinator that's 2 years younger than him, that's Byron Leftwich, explain how to run an offense or play quarterback to Tom Brady?
Who do you think threw the most deep balls in the 20 yards down, most attempted 20 yards downfield or more in the NFL last year? Tom fucking Brady. The ceiling is there. Again, he doesn't run, but it doesn't matter because they pass when they're beating the shit out of teams. They don't run the clock out. They pass the clock out. This team doesn't give a fuck. Tom Brady doesn't give a fuck. And you know, the scariest thing is when you come across another creature who doesn't give a fuck. That's dangerous.
Shout out to Sheba Mania saying Davis Mills will be top 10 by next season. That's a hot take.
That's what's hotter, that or Justin Fields being a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I think it's maybe equal. Anyway, Tom Brady, my number 5 guy. I would say for me, this is the end of the average people area, because for as much as we love Tom Brady and he did great last year, he is facing that horrible ceiling or that glass ceiling of I don't run the ball at all. And some of these other dudes I'm about to go against are just, they have that. So, and he's old. I think it's not as fun to end up with Tom Brady.
No, again, you probably had him for a season.
So, okay. So it sounds like we definitely have this 4 of the same guys left. I'm curious who your number 5 is.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, ooh, spicy.
Yeah. I mean, I keep going back and forth. I do think the offense is going to figure out, you know, new opportunities. I think it's going to be
that's what you hear when you get fired.
Yeah, pursuing new opportunities. I mean, I just don't understand how Tyreek Hill doesn't have a negative impact on this, on the Chiefs and Mahomes. And again, five, I think, is a reasonable take. There were times last year where teams, I wouldn't say they figured him out completely or whatever, but they were clearly playing some defenses which Patrick Mahomes struggled with. And you throw in the fact that Tyreek Hill, he had 1,239 yards and 9 touchdowns. I get you'll be able to replace some of that, but again, his speed alone opens up the middle of the field for Kelsey. Like he just, it he's does a
seem
problem.
Like, yeah, it does
when,
seem like
when the defensive coordinator looks to scheme up the week, he doesn't have like a picture of Juju up on his wall going, we got to figure out how to stop this guy. We got to figure out how to shut down Mecole Hardman or Valdez Scantling. And again, I'm optimistic about the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to be able to figure out something that works. And again, that's why I have him here. But again, as far as like top four, that's my knock against him is no Tyreek Hill, I think, is going to hurt your numbers. I just don't see how it doesn't.
I think the other thing is why wouldn't the offense change drastically? So yeah, to look at what he's done in the past, even last year, probably a pretty good year, played the whole season. I know some teams got in his grill a little bit, ended up still being the fourth guy. You know, I have him one spot ahead of you. I have him my fourth guy. And I think part of it is he's not his team's goal line back. Part of it is I just don't like the Chiefs to throw as much as the other teams that I have up here. They were the top team last year in terms of pass rate. They're almost certainly going to take a step back. This is going to be an offense that is based on what Travis Kelce can do. Don't you feel like this could be one of those Andy Reid teams where they're doing a little bit more with the running backs? Maybe they're transforming a little bit. Juju is what, a big physical bruising wide receiver you get on the field when you're running the ball a lot. I think, you know, they have a number of guys who can potentially be dynamic threats, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Andy Reid's the best offensive coach that we've had in our lifetime because he transforms. He continually transforms his offense. And he's able to figure out ways to change. And I think the way this offense changes, it's not that they're going to be less explosive. They're just going to be explosive in different ways. So, but I think that is going to mean less volume, and less volume means hard to put Patrick Mahomes higher than what he did last year. So I got him at fourth. Who's your fourth?
My number four is Jalen Hurts.
Oh, wow. Woo.
Again,
it's getting hot in here.
I know what? You just pull up the, experts rankings and just copy and paste, Ryan.
What do you mean?
Well, you act like Jalen Hurts being number four is some insane hot take.
No, that's pretty hot.
No, for a guy, not.
I mean, a running back to be number four on the quarterback list, that's pretty hot.
You sound like my buddy Brandon. You know, they count rushing touchdowns in the NFL. Just because he ran in Brandon three touchdowns cool. against the Saints. It's not like, oh guys, hey, it's a passing league. Those touchdowns don't count. Okay. No, they use them at the goal line. They use them for QB sneaks.
I like Jalen Hurts. Relax.
And really, ultimately,
will he be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles by week 15?
Yeah, why not?
Or is it Gardner Minshew?
No,
because they need someone who can get the ball in the air to those dynamic pass catching threats.
They told Minshew he's never starting. So no. No, you didn't hear that story. Minshew went in to coach Sirianni and said, what do I got to do to start? And he said, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
And also, ooh, like, even if things go
not good for the locker room,
even if things go wrong for the Eagles, I think this year is especially seeing what they have with Jalen Hurts. So are they going to give him every opportunity, even if he struggles? I think last year he was probably in a weird way on a shorter leash than he is this year. This year have to some degree, yes, because they have two first round picks. If he starts playing bad and they end up starting tanking, I think they might be okay to just let Jalen run the season into the ground and use that to get higher.
So this is another Justin Fields, like he's playing for his job.
Okay. This is on my bullet points. It's still proving himself.
Jalen Hurts. He seems like a
fucking
great guy.
Gardner Minshew is making more money than Jalen Hurts. You don't think that lights a fire under this guy's
dog?
Do you, So all of that, I agree. He's gotten better. He's motivated. He seems like the guy that you'd want to run your team. Rare breed.
I'm getting the chain.
All that.
Keep talking.
But at what point are his physical limitations that he just can't? I mean, feel free to pick up the pace. You don't need at what point does Jalen Hurts have a physical limitation with throwing the football? And you know, Oh, here we go. A little close up on the rare breed. What does the top line say?
Untamed rare breed. Put my chain on for the haters.
I think no one had, I'll say this, Sean, if there's one guy who could pop his way into the elite company of the goal line back crew, it's Jalen Hurts. But in some ways, Jalen Hurts probably has the highest potential outcomes of seasons, because there's a version of this where he really can't throw the ball.
But what do you're counteracting, you're contradicting the point you just made.
But you don't think there's I'm pointing out that I think he has a very high ceiling and a very low floor, because I think his floor could be benched. And I don't think many guys in the top five of your rankings have consideration of being benched or not being the starting quarterback even next year.
Okay, next year?
Yeah, no.
We'll break down the 2023 fantasy rankings when we get to 2023. There is, I think, I would say 3% chance he is pulled for poor performance. 3%.
You're saying the number of out, you're saying it's rare.
Extremely rare. Okay. Almost as rare as is Jalen Hurts' untamed rare breed athletic talents. Right.
You're not putting your homerism aside right now.
No. He only had 16 passing touchdowns. I think, you know,
only could be a ceiling,
but look at the over unders on
what do they got him at?
No, but look at the over unders. It's like going to be in the 20s for Jalen Hurts passing touchdowns. Again, you have Devonta Smith.
What are we doing the prop show?
Devonta Smith going against second cornerbacks.
Oh, here we go.
I think that's a great opportunity. To your point, Rager was out on the field for like 500 snaps last year, gave them zero.
Yeah.
You're replacing that with AJ Brown.
I like Jalen Hurts.
And that's not going to increase.
I just think this,
I think
putting him over Mahomes is a big leap. I think that means he's figured out how to pass the ball, and they're not drafting a quarterback next year.
Brian, again, this to me is rushing touchdowns. He had 10 last year, and I don't see why they're going to drastically change their goal line offense.
No, I mean, he had a lot last year. I think for him to come back with another 10 would be pretty impressive. Because even a step back to eight is a you know, it's a decent,
right? So you do
5% of his points.
You have eight rushing touchdowns, and then I think he could conservatively get 25 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I mean you are clearly you're higher on him than I am. I'm just saying, I think in that scenario, I think for him to get over Mahomes would be a big step, and it means that the Eagles are probably good. And it means that the Eagles are probably set on Jalen Hurts for their quarterback next year. That's my point. That's all I was saying. Number three. Wait, no, my four was Mahomes. So are you on number three?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you're blasting through your
well, we're discussing them at the same time. We talked about
my number three is Justin Herbert. I mean, again, you know, you could make a case he's number one. I just, when I actually dug deep and looked through everything, I got Herbert at three, just because the two guys ahead of him, you know, more rushing. He did have three rushing touchdowns last year, five his rookie year. I wouldn't be shocked if he has another five or so. I think you throw in, and I think we hit on this on one of the best balls or, episodes are one of that, but you factor in all the aggressiveness that Chargers offense has as far as like going for it in the red zone, going for it on fourth down. I feel like that's got to add up, and the touchdown. Like if you asked me who to bet on to have 50 or more touchdowns this year, it might be Justin Herbert. 31 his rookie year, 38 last year. If he continued on that trend and got 45, am I shocked? No, certainly not.
Play the breaking news. You could make the case, because he is my number one fantasy quarterback. I mean, Sean, it's not a hot take. Just because he doesn't run the ball, you can't discriminate. I think the biggest thing he has over the other two guys, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, is less uncertainty. And Sean, we talked about it previously with a couple other guys. Blows your mind almost to think about, but this will be his second year in the same offense. That's huge. And then you look at the underlying stats, Sean. This was not a team that passed at an alarming rate. They were dead in the middle of the league, 15th.
Yeah.
In neutral pass rate. This was a team. This blew my mind when I saw this. They were bottom 10, bottom 11, 21st in air yards per attempt. It means they're not even going down the field. That's insane. Now, that could be a product of how much volume they had, but still, that number stood out to me. If this team becomes a more, you know, how could they be a more aggressive team? They're a super aggressive team already.
Maybe a slight knock on them was they were playing from behind in a lot of like situations. And I think there's a world where their defense is a little bit better than last year. They're playing in some more competitive stuff.
But I don't know.
Again, it's a slight knock on them.
I think the defense being better just prevents, you know, 10 play drives where the other team is just running it down their throat because they couldn't stop the fucking run. So, you know, you could argue that that almost helps them.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of games like that one against the Browns where it got insane
because they just ran the ball down their throat.
Who?
The Browns.
Yeah. And it became this crazy shootout. I'm saying if the Chargers are a little bit better defensively,
fewer opportunities, maybe.
That would be my knock against him. I'm super high on him.
And again, the only guy that outscored him last year was Josh Allen. And again, so much more uncertainty around, you know, go instead of being a second year in an offense play caller relationship, having to, you know, drum up that new relationship with former Miami quarterback. And I'm blanking on his name. Who's the offensive coordinator in Buffalo? Not Brian Dable. He's gone.
So yeah, in that Chargers Sean's game, I'm talking listening. To. No, I was looking up the stats from that Chargers Browns game where the Chargers allowed 42 points. They ended up winning 47-42. Herbert had 398 yards, four touchdowns. So I think
Ken Dorsey. Fuck.
I think there's a world where maybe there's slightly less of those games. Again, that's an outlier, and again, it's just a slight knock. If he ran the ball a little bit more, he would be my number one, hands down.
I think you look at the game log, how many times he's throwing the ball 40 times in a game. It's just unreal. It's just absolutely unreal. And to your point, like maybe he gets a couple more looks around the red zone in terms of running the ball. Who knows? He put in three times last year. So yeah, number one guy. Cause I think he's like, we talked a lot about a bunch of guys who could take a step forward second year in the offense. Maybe they're young guys getting more mature. But Justin Herbert's all of that all together. And I think from the eye test standpoint, is there a better guy in the league? I don't know if anyone looks as good as Justin Herbert playing quarterback.
No,
you don't get points for that, but
no. And I think again, that's why I got him. Guy. That's why I got him top three. I think
fucking love the Chargers. Let's go.
I think he's
going to be awesome. The Chargers again this
year. How many shares of Justin Herbert do you have in best ball, Ryan? While you look that up, I'm going to tell people about IP Vanish. Your lock when it comes to locking up your internet security, your browsing history, keeping it away from advertisers, ISPs, various prying eyes. And again, you know, passwords, communications, you don't want that. You don't want anyone getting to that. That's why you have a password to begin with. IP Vanish keeps your internet traffic safe, secure, encrypted. And you can use it on streaming devices like Fire Stick. We use it here over at on SGPN or in our studio on God's Eye, and 70% off their yearly plan. You're only paying 30% of the yearly plan and a 30-day money back guarantee. Again, I've been skeptical at times with using a VPN, but when I tried out IP Vanish, I was completely won over. IPVanish.com/SGP. Use our promo code to help us out, toss us a bone, and again, toss yourself a bone. By locking up your internet security, ipvanish.com/SGP.
It appears I must have them on two. We'll call it 11%.
So why do you not have your number one quarterback high
enough teams? My ownership in general on premium guys is not there. As you know, you've sat with me and we've done almost a dozen of these, and I'm generally scraping At least in best ball, I'm a little bit more comfortable scraping the bottom, taking three guys and hoping for the rotation, because as you know, quarterbacks score a lot of points, especially when you can get a guy like Derek Carr, my 10 guy, towards the end of the draft. I have a similar amount of all of these top guys, I think, because I'm not necessarily taking them. Now, that being said, in season long, I think I'm going premium quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, just look at where they go. Like, especially, you know, we can talk my number three guy, but like Josh Allen, even look where Josh Allen is going. He's a goal line back. Checks that box.
Yeah. Career high in rushing yards at 763.
Scored 30,
juicy yards per attempt, 6.3.
34 red zone touchdowns. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's
between
insane.
Passing and so, yeah, I guess a little bit of a reliance on the offense being so fucking good, having so many opportunities. But
so you have me at number two, even without Brian Daboll.
Three.
Oh, because that's why you have him three.
So, yeah, he gets knocked down a little bit because I know you think this is a bit, but I think it does matter when you lose. So, in this realm, I think you lose your play caller. There's question mark there, especially when it's Ken Dorsey. I think Brian Daboll clearly has shown everyone he's a dude.
Well, and again, that's why I don't have Josh Allen number one as well. Sean McDermott, again, this is probably coach speak because I think Allen does whatever he wants when he's out there, but he said he wants Allen to run less. And I'm kind of skeptical of that because you saw the Bills offense really turn a corner when they started peppering in some design runs. You know, they would, you know, crazy amount of passes. And then they would, you know, sometimes they wouldn't be a couple drops, couple incompletions, weren't getting in a good flow. They would just go to Josh Allen as in a designed run.
The positive spin on that is okay. Yeah. Run less between the 20s and still run inside the 10, because that's where the run becomes more valuable, right? You're the mismatch, all of that. That's why he is such a dynamic goal line back. It's why it's really like, if you see anyone with him outside there, I mean, I guess you're talking to some guys who don't have Kyler in the top 10, but
yeah,
if you have Josh Allen, it's really hard with his size, everything about this man, how he can't get hurt. He wants to play football. Unlike that pussy Kyler. the scariest thing to me is, you know, maybe they want to run him less, and that turns into them actually running him less and hurting the offense. And maybe their pass rate goes from third in the league down a little bit, or maybe they just continue on being who they are. Now, I will say, what, you know, with Beasley not being there, does anything change? I know that clearly Beasley and him had a good rapport on the field.
No, and can they
replace that? Is the James Cook thing, is that there because it's going to even be more opportunity for him to dink and dunk and get more garbage easy fantasy points?
Ryan, you're waiting. You know, I could be unveiling one of the hottest of hot takes with when we break down the receivers, because I am super high on Gabe Davis.
You are.
It feels like the perfect.
He's pretty
turning of a corner.
How high are you though? Because his ADP is up into the fourth round.
I know. So maybe I'm not.
You're not that high on him. It's getting to the point where the way to go with Josh Allen is stack him with James Cook and Dawson Knox. Otherwise you're paying first round for Stephon Diggs. You're paying third round or fourth round. So to really stack Diggs with his top two receivers, you're going 1-3-4, and that's probably too rich. Like, even if they pay off, you really need to hit elsewhere to be different and win, especially in the best ball format. Now, season long, like I said, I'm going premium. I want a premium guy. I'm not fucking around. I want one of these guys at the top, these Escalades who can straight up. It's like 40 points is not that crazy for any of these dudes. Why? Because they could put a couple in on the ground. Justin Herbert can throw for 400 yards every game. And you know, everyone else is just a running back.
Now, my number one, this will depend.
Wait, who's your number two?
Josh Allen.
Oh, okay. Then my number two, your number one.
Yes. Now, some of this will depend. I'm going to keep a close eye on the latest variants and the strains.
Wait, are you saying this is an early ranking show?
Well, yeah.
And there might be changes later on.
Well,
don't hold me to this. Fuck you. Why are you talking about it then?
It'll depend on how many times he catches COVID between now and the end of the season. I think the over under is at 1.5, but give me Lamar Jackson as my number one fantasy football quarterback. I mean, you look
so
at his,
funny.
I just, the more I think about it and the more I was just breaking down his numbers from last year, again, you know, if he stays healthy and limits his COVID to like two times a year. And it seems like
I don't think COVID's going to be in the NFL this year.
Well, they stopped. They gave up testing.
Not a political statement.
They gave up testing at some point. So I don't think he's going to miss any games due to COVID. But
over under players who miss games on the COVID list all season, I'll say 1.5.
I think they would just play. I don't think they're going to be testing. I think if they're sick, they're just going to be sick.
Yeah, and we're not going to hear about it.
Just his rushing attempts. You take away Hollywood Brown, you put him in this mode where he's really going to prove, got to prove himself. Now maybe he gets this big deal done and he wants to try and be a pocket passer, but that's not Lamar's game. This guy runs the football. Last year, if you take out the game where he got injured against the Browns, he had more than 7 carries every game. I mean, he had a 21 carry game, 14, 16, 17 carries. You just can't factor that in enough. And I do think his passing touchdowns of only 16 were a little bit of an outlier. I think they're going to come in with a better offense.
On that point, real quick, 4.2 touchdown percentage last year. The year he had 36, it was 9. Obviously, that was not going to be sustainable, but yeah. Career average a lot closer to his 2020 season of 26 touchdowns. So to your point, like some regression is definitely coming in that regard, even though Hollywood Brown is out.
Yeah. I think you get Lamar up to like 25 passing touchdowns. He's still carrying the ball 10 times a game, which there's no reason to think he's going to be running the ball less. I mean, I just don't see how he doesn't have an awesome season. And again, he had a abnormally low rushing touchdowns as well last year, only 2 compared to his previous seasons of 7, 7, and 5. So I think if he just gets back to his career averages, he's going to be up there. And if you throw in the fact that I think he's, you know, could be inclined or even run more than his historic average,
I think he's
in a great spot fantasy wise.
I think most people would be surprised to find out his max for rushing touchdowns in a season is 7.
Yeah.
Like that. That to me is a number that
he has 10 like Jalen Hurts had last year, I think again, that's why I have him number one.
Well,
I think his ceiling is really high. The floor, if you factor in the injuries and COVID and that kind of stuff, could be pretty bad. But if you're getting Lamar Jackson, in a redraft league, I really like that. And you could probably still get Mark Andrews as well.
I mean, just that multiplier, right? Being, you know, every rushing touchdown is worth 1.5 passing touchdowns. So to think 10 becomes 15, you know, 15 plus that 25, you're right there at 40. And I think then you add in those rushing yards. I will say this. I think the way that this gets undone is the contract. Something happens. Cause I think either everything's happy and he's playing fucking hard, or he's in a contract year and he's playing fucking hard. And to the point of, I think Hollywood's irrelevant to the conversation. I think you're going to see Bateman thrive more and be featured more. You're going to see Andrews continue to be an absolute dominant threat. And you're going to see this rushing game with Gus Edwards back, JK Dobbins back. And sure, it's going to take overall volume away, but they're going to get back to being the team that they are, which is a dominant offense. And what do you want to see from your running backs and your goal line backs? Opportunities in the red zone. So I think, you know, through the lens of this quarterback rankings, I am going to be, I think, fairly high on this Ravens team this year as well. I think Lamar is just, there's a certain element of fuck you to whatever's happening with Lamar right now.
It feels like, again, I love, and you see it with my placement of Justin Fields in the top 10, my higher than market average with Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, number one. I love a running quarterback with a chip on his shoulder. I think that's a great fantasy combination. Yes. And why I had Josh Allen, my number one fantasy quarterback in 2020. When people like didn't have him top 10.
That was a hot take that paid off.
Yes.
That would be like saying Daniel Jones is going to be the number one guy this year. Cause he got Dave's, the man who made all of that.
Step one, be a number one guy in the Giants.
Now here's the question. So I have Herbert, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, Brady. you know, those guys are all being drafted at different points in the draft. Who, from a value perspective, Sean, who's the guy? Like, who's the guy you're in best ball? Well, best ball is a little bit different, but who's the guy you're going to end up with the most in best ball? Maybe it's just a stack thing.
Yeah,
because to me, Lamar, it probably going to get more expensive once this episode drops. But Lamar stacked with Mark Andrews from a premium standpoint. Duvernay,
you can get like basically free.
Lamar with Duvernay with Bateman. There's potential there. You can even, you know, Lamar naked has always been something we've endorsed here on the Sports Gambling Podcast. I think Lamar and Herbert obviously are interesting because Lamar in the fifth round, right? Fifth round is where you get Lamar. That feels like an okay place to take an elite guy like that. Whereas Josh Allen going third round, Patrick Mahomes going fourth round, Herbert probably also fifth, sixth.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, if you missed the last episode, we're checking out, but I was really happy with the best ball team I ended up with because I had the Lamar bragging, Jackson.
You fucking son of a bitch. You know what happened last episode.
No,
you know what happened last episode.
You were
episode.
Asking me who do I end
was
up-
going to have T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Joe Burrow, but Daro fucked me. And then you just fell into a beautiful Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews stack.
Lamar Jackson's.
And you were about to brag about it. And then I said, also dare you, you son of a bitch.
As my backup sack, I had Derek Carr.
That's right.
With Devontae Adams. And you know, looking at that, and then I went basically zero RB, took a lot of bullets on some long shots, but I was really happy with that team I put together. Now, as far as your value thing, more I look at it, like, why do we not have, and I don't think I have any ownership of him. I kind of busted your chops last draft, but re-looking at it, Ryan, I do think I got to have more shares of Brady, especially with the target share kind of clarifying.
He's going so late. I almost want to pull it up to see where I drafted him and got made fun. I might as well have taken Dak.
No, you drafted him like two rounds early. Was really why I was laughing.
No, I didn't though. I don't think I did. That's what we just learned here.
And someone to kind of look out for. I know everyone thinks Cam Brate's going to be the guy, but shout out to ETR, Cade Otton, the tight end that the Bucks drafted in the fourth round out of Washington. He's interesting. Like if you have Tom Brady in your best ball draft, like taking him as your last third tight end could be fun.
Joe Burrow got taken in the sixth round right before me. I then took Tom Brady in the seventh round. I don't think that's too early for my fifth ranked fantasy football quarterback. And I don't think you have a problem considering the next ones taken were.
You had Mike Evans as well?
No, I didn't have Mike Evans.
Okay.
I'm not so bragging about a stack. Up. No, obviously I could have done better, but Tom Brady in the seventh is not horrible. After that, Dak, Trey Lance, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about value guys. Obviously, Justin Fields for me is a massive value guy. Brady, I think after re-looking at this, I think he is a guy.
You can say I'm sorry. You were right. For me, it's Derek Carr. The more that you know, if you were to expand the rankings, Daniel Jones not that far outside the top 10. Derek Carr and Daniel Jones will be on a lot of teams. Marcus Mariota, that's not like most people don't do two quarterback leagues or leagues that you'd want to take Marcus Mariota. But if you do, I love Marcus Mariota. But yeah, as far as single, I'm going to the top. I'm, you know, in a league where it's just about talking shit, I just want a quarterback that's going to put up points every week. You can pick up someone else if he gets hurt. Like, fuck it. Go early. Take Lamar. Is it Lamar in the fifth? Is that the ultimate pick? I think it is.
Yeah.
Herbert's going in the fourth, fifth. Lamar's going like fifth. They're both good. Those are probably the two guys I like the most.
Before we close it out, shout out to Kyle, massive Viking fan, wanting to saying, assuming we have Kirk Cousins number one. Kirk Cousins just off my list.
Justin Herbert's my number one, unfortunately. Lamar is Sean's. Kirk Cousins not even in my top 15.
Well, I would say
I didn't go past 15.
I have him. I think a couple shares of him in best ball is like my second stack, especially if I ended up with Justin Jefferson, because you could definitely talk yourself into a world where new offensive coordinator, you have Justin Jefferson and Thielen.
You kind of have to. I guess there's a world where
in the dome?
if when you, if you're sitting on the second pick and your pick is Justin Jefferson, you kind of have to like Kirk Cousins as a top 12 guy. Like he's the guy you're taking at the end of your draft then, right?
Yeah.
If you're saying don't wait till the end and just take a guy.
Yeah. Like if you took Justin, if you took Justin Jefferson and whatever, where is he going? First round and
well, that's what I'm saying. If he's the guy you like at number two, the second pick,
second overall.
Yeah.
He's going that high.
I mean, after Taylor, it's whoever you like. Is it true? Is it Chase? Is it Jefferson? Is it Cup? Is it McCaffrey, Henry, Eckler? I think so. To me, if you love Justin Jefferson, you also kind of love Kirk Cousins, which is that's why I don't love. For me, Justin Jefferson falls after Cooper Cup, falls you like after that. You like that. Jamar Chase, probably even falls after some of like. I don't know. Justin Jefferson being the number three, number two guy is pretty crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for the wide receiver rank.
I like Jefferson, but you know, not quite that high. All right, everyone. It's taping this on the Sunday night, football Sunday. Tomorrow is Merch Monday and very easy to get in for your chance to win free gear every Monday, AKA Merch Monday. All you got to do, send in a review on Apple Podcasts of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Take a screenshot right before you send it in and then open up your SGPN app, click the contest tab, submit it, name and email, and you're good to go for your chance to win free gear every Monday, AKA Merch Monday.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he's Ryan.
Sean, in 41 days, the Hall of Fame game will be here.
Kramer, let it ride.